First, we talked about the power of what? Expectation. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said, when I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to get healed. There's something very powerful of you anticipating and believing God before you ever see it. It's a power of anticipation. The next thing we looked at, it was the power of thanksgiving. And we said that God is planted things. God is planting dreams in you, and there's something very powerful about asking and thanking God and saying, God, thank you that this is going to happen. Thank you that it's going to. He loves it when we're grateful. He loves it when we have expectation, but even more than expectation, when we start thanking him for things, even before they come. Very powerful. And then we talked about the power of not looking at your circumstances. And many people, they look at their circumstances and they're so focused on their circumstances that they can't ever see them getting out of it. The Bible says, as a man perceives, so he is. As he thinks, so he is. And so it's so important. And what happens in those circumstances, and maybe you've been in those circumstances for 4 years or 14 years or whatever it is, and you start saying, man, I'll never get out of this. And then you don't get out and you say, see? And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But here's the thing. You have some of those circumstances are circumstances that you have gotten yourself into. Others are circumstances that you didn't have any control over. But let me tell you what. You have control over getting out of those circumstances. Amen. There are all kinds of people, and they just whine in their Cheerios, and listen, and there's circumstances and things that are going on in your life, and they're real, and you had no power over them. Okay? But that doesn't mean that you can't get out of those situations. Okay? And how many know, some of you, you got into your own mess. Well, let me tell you what, you can still get out of those situations. But in order to do that, you've got to stop looking at that circumstances and looking at your circumstance saying, man, it'll never change. No, it will change. But you've got to change. You've got to change your ability to stop looking at that and start seeing, you know what, God wants you to see. Then we talked about the power of simply asking. Bible says clearly, you have not because you ask not. And God wants us. He says, you know what? If you know how to give to, your children good gifts, how much more does the Heavenly Father know to give to his children? Here's what he says, to those who ask. So it's important for you to ask. Critical. So, and then last week, we looked at the power of simply singing, which has to do with the power of the tongue, but it also has to do with this powerful thing that you can change your atmosphere, change your environment just by, you know what, and you've experienced this, you go into, you know what, some of you have experienced it, and you're not even singing, you just turn a worship song and on, and all of a sudden, that power, that singing, turns everything around. Today, I want to talk to you about, this might be a little controversial in that I might be a little bit in your face. But how many know that that for us to be corrected is not a bad thing, it's a good thing? And you say, well, what are you correcting me for? I'm here at church. I know you're here at church. I thank God for that. But I want to talk to you, and it's not about coming to church one time. I want to talk about the power of you being consistent. I've entitled this The Power of Church, but let me define what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about showing up once every once in a while. I'm talking about there's something very, very powerful about you figuring out what church you're called to, and then making a commitment that when that church has services, that you're going to be there. I told you it might be kind of in your face a little bit, but does somebody want to be set free today? Okay, so let's have a open heart to let God correct us where we need to be corrected. Now, let me just talk openly about why the pushback. Why is there pushback on this? How many know there's a lot of pushback on this? Pushback is saying, I don't think that's true. I don't think you got to go, you know, I don't. Well, let's talk about it for a minute. Because there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians. And how many know there are a lot of people around in a 5-mile radius all the way around, 5 miles that way, 5 miles that way, 5 miles that way, 5 miles that way, and they call themselves Christian, but they ain't planning on going to church tonight, today. Come on. No, but I don't have to go to church. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, why the pushback? Well, let's talk about it. Number one, you guys got this in the back? Number one, or A. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, amen? Now, I'm telling you, that's, you know what? There's pushback, and let's go into this deeper. I did that on purpose because I wanted to get your reaction, but there's also a lot of truth in this. So let's talk about what's really going on when I say NFL. Here's what's really going on. We no longer, as a society, how many know there's way more people at home today than in here? And as a society, we don't see the importance like we used to see in spiritual development. We don't see the importance in developing and understanding the ways of God. This is a training center for you to be trained in righteousness, in how to live God's way. Because let me tell you what, you and I, we just don't do it automatically. We have to understand and we have to learn principles that God has given us in the Word. And when we walk in those principles, then we start to walk in the blessings of God. But as a society, we don't, and think about it. We send our kids to school, and we have no clue. How many know when, you know what? When you might have gone to school, school is a lot different than it is nowadays. And there is this anti-God-ness in schools. You don't have to say amen. I'm just telling you what, it's a fact. You don't believe me? You watch a teacher just say, hey, I just want to give a testimony. I just want to give a shout out to Jesus. Because I went to church yesterday, and man, I just was kind of feeling bummed out. Kids, I just want to tell you, of all the things that are important, Jesus is the most important. How many know you're not going to hear that in first grade from a teacher, second grade from a teacher, third grade? How many know you're not going to hear that in public school? Come on, somebody. Because our school has said, our school system has said, and ultimately we've said, that's okay. That's all right. And so, but what we have taught, and we teach, it is a theory, but I believe in most schools, it's not taught as a theory. You start to question how long the earth's been here. And if you have a biblical understanding how long the earth is here, and you tell them that, you will be mocked. You will be absolutely mocked. But let me tell you what, they teach it as fact. Darwinism, you know what? The Big Bang, all evolution, that they just will cram it down your kids' throats. We said, Pastor, what does that have? Guys, stay with me up here. What does that have anything to do with the NFL? Oh, come on. It has everything to do with the NFL. Because if you saw the value of spiritual development, it wouldn't make any difference what game was on. It's not just the NFL. it's the NFL, or it's, you know what, I got family coming out of from they come my family coming from out of town. I'm going to the swap meet today. I got, you know what I mean, all this. I mean, excuse after excuse. And here's can I tell you why people don't go to church? Because they value something else more than church. Is that not right? Okay. George, what do you want? Do you want the Hershey's with almonds, or do you want the Reese's? Well, Hershey's with almonds. Okay, so why? Okay, here's my point. What did he value? He valued one over the other. Amen. Praise God, because I like Reese's. Amen. Do you understand? People do what they want to do. The reason why people are pushing back, the reason why people stay at home, is because they do not value the importance of being in church. They don't see the value in it. They do see the value of watching the NFL, going to the mall, sleeping in, blah, da, 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 da. Does this make sense? So number one, and where does that come? That comes from much of it comes from people. Think about people don't even believe in God anymore. So many people don't believe in God. And so if you don't believe in God, why would you value spiritual development to be like Jesus if you don't even believe in God? And so number one, there's this, we don't value spiritual development and the importance of us understanding and learning God's ways. Number one. Number two, you know what? The church, number two, guys, the church, you know what? Was boring. How many went to church when you were little? Raise your hand if you went to church when you were little. Okay. Now be honest with you. How many, when you went to church, you were little, it was boring? Raise your hand. See, almost everyone, look at that. Raise your hand again. Okay. I'm not saying that there's not exceptions to the rule, but I'm saying when I ask you how many went to church, all kinds of people raised their hand, and then when I said how many of you it was boring, almost everyone's hand that was up stayed up. Okay, it was boring. Now let me talk about boring. What is boring? Boring is something. One of the targets that we have at Hope in the teaching of when we teach at Hope is that the teachings, watch for this, would be relevant to your life. Everybody say relevant to your life. I'm just asking again, show of hands, how many ever come here and you heard exactly what you needed for the upcoming week? Raise your hand if that was. See, what is that? Everybody say relevant. What is that? That's relevant teaching. Let me tell you what. This is the most relevant. This is the most practical book that you will ever pick up. Amen. There is no better book for life than this book. Here's what the Bible says: that God's ways are higher than your ways, than our ways. And so higher meaning better. You will listen when it's so important that the church, that when you come to church, you would learn things that are practical, for that the word of God is taught, that it would be practical. Amen. But how many know I try to be relevant to not only to give you things that are going to be helpful for your life, which is teach the Word of God, but I try to do it in a way that keeps you awake. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Okay. Hopefully nobody's sleeping yet, right? Okay. But we I'm gonna eat your Reese's in a minute, brother. So here's what I'm saying, but we try to do things that are, why in the world yesterday did I have Vegas? I said, Vegas, go to Rite Aid and get some candy. And why am I doing that? Here's why. Because I want to be relevant to you. I want somebody to go, wait a minute, I don't know those things. You know why it was important for us to understand the importance of simply asking? Because you can get in a situation and you will simply just say, God, I need help. He'll help you. Is that practical? Is it practical for you to just be, you ever just have the blues? You know what I mean? You're like, man, I don't know why I'm so blues, man. I just feel like crying today. Am I the only one? You know what I mean? So what do? You know what I do. Happy, 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 happy. Okay, I'm not going to go over last week's sermon, but here's a point. That is relevant to your life. See, we need to teach and watch this. And I never, and I mean never, somebody say never. And I never, you know, in the North Sanctuary, we're a little farther from the kids, and so we don't hear them yelling so much. And I, when I say yelling, I don't mean like, get me out of here. I don't mean that yelling. I mean like, we'll do different stuff that, exactly, joy, thank you. Okay, you can have your Reese's back now. Anyway, but there'll be things we do, we play games, we have fun, we sing songs, we do all this all around teaching them the Word of God, but we do it at their level, amen? Amen. I was talking to somebody, and they had their kids in a very rigid structure in going to these classes on Saturday. And I wasn't trying to talk them out of it per se, but I was trying to get them to think. And I said to this couple, I said, hey, can I just ask you something? See, here's what the parents wanted. They wanted to develop and put spirituality in their kids to get God in their life. Can I tell you what? God is the best thing you ever put in your kid's life. I'm telling you what. It is. I love you guys. If you're parents, I love you. Grandparents, I love you. You know what? But you can ask Tamara. This is true. You know what? We didn't go up to our 4-year-old. We didn't go up to our 8-year-old. We didn't go up to our 12-year-old. We didn't go up to our 16-year-old and say, you feel like going to church today? I didn't say that. We led, and we led by example. And then we kindly said, get in the car, we're leaving. Amen? Parents, you are there to lead. And I knew they wanted to lead. They had their kids in these classes because they wanted them to learn about God. But I asked them this. I said, hey, I don't know my exact words. I think it went something like this. You know what? You think they're getting anything out of those classes? And I could tell they kind of looked at me like, I don't think so. And then I asked them this. I said, well, let me ask you this. Do they enjoy those classes? And as soon as I said, no, they don't like those classes. Okay. Well, guess what? You know what? They're probably learning nothing. I didn't say it like that, but I said, you might want to consider that putting them in classes where they are learning about God. Great, 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 great thing that you're doing. But doing it in an atmosphere that they can learn at, that they're enjoying it. Can I tell you what? I love Hope for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons I love Hope is we have a heart for kids. Amen. And we're not going to sit them down and, you know what I mean, and just have boring lessons about God. Can I tell you why we're not going to do that? Because God is not boring. I remember, I never forget when a pastor friend of mine, he was teaching many, many pastors, and he just got in our face and he said, listen, this is the most relevant book. This is the most exciting book. Jesus, there is no more excitement than the things that Jesus has done in our lives, and how dare us teach and preach in one word. How dare us preach lessons that cause people to fall asleep? Well, we've taken that mentality and we have it at every single level. If you come to Sozo on Wednesday, I guarantee you, you know what? The teachers that teach will not be boring. They will teach, just like we teach, something that will be relevant. Is this making sense? And so there's a pushback because it's like, man, I used to go to church, it was so boring. Well, then they weren't teaching right. Because let me tell you what. This is the most exciting book that you will ever open up. Amen. Amen. Number three, Number three, pushback. It's about, you know what, well, you know, Pastor, it's not about religion, man. It's about relationship. That sounds good, doesn't it? See, some of you are like, well, Pastor, that's true. That's right. Okay. Well, it does have a degree of truth in it, but here's what I want to say. Here's what people say. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of Christians that just know it's okay not to go to church. And here's how they justify. It's about, I got a relationship with God. It's not about religion. Okay. Well, after all, you know what? Church is just man-made. Well, what? Huh? What Bible are you reading? No, really. What Bible? And see, what happens is we say things and we think ignorantly, not our minds not washed according to the Word, and we say stuff, and then we have other people whose minds aren't washed in the Word of God, and they just go, and we agree that that's right and it's wrong. How many of you know that for a long time, people, the smartest people, thought that the earth was flat? In the highest educational places, they thought the world was flat. And the majority thought the world was flat. And if you stood up and said, no, the world's not flat. How many know God knew it was round? I was reading just yesterday in Psalms or Proverbs, and it talks about the sun and the circuit. No, it's flat. You just opened up your Bible and found out, you know what? David told you it was round a long time ago. And whether you thought it was flat or whether you thought it was flat and all your friends thought it was flat and all the people at the university thought it was flat, they're all wrong. Amen. How many know right is right even if you're wrong? How many ever been smiling, you're cranking the radio and just going down the freeway, you know what? And you're like, hey, I can hardly wait to get there. And you're going the wrong way. Amen. But you're smiling. I'm going the wrong way. But why are you smiling? Because you don't know you're going the wrong way. Is that not right? Okay. So what I'm saying is this thought of it's about relationship, it's not religion. We say religion, well, that's church, and church was created by man. And love you guys, am I smiling? You know nothing. At least concerning that, you know nothing. No, the church, the institution of the church, was created by God for raising up people in the body of Christ. Amen. And that's why, and that was God's intention. Yeah. Are you a follower of Christ? Yes, praise the Lord, I'm a follower of Christ. Okay, then here's what Jesus did. Jesus went to church. And the Bible says it was his custom. Amen. Amen. Are you learning something? Number two, Jesus understood the importance of church. Jesus understood the importance of church. Just real quick. Guys, you got to be real quick today, okay? In the back, because I'm going to go over a lot of scripture and I need to be right on it. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Look what it says. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he said to him, a certain man gave a, Yeah, 4:16. I'll turn to it. I thought, that's not what I wanted. Okay. Chapter 4 and verse 16. Look what it says. And so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, say it with me, as was his custom. Who's his? Jesus, you want to be a follower of Christ? Then do what he does. What was his custom? As was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And you know this is when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and went on. But here's the point. Understand, that was his custom. That wasn't the first time. He didn't show up to church and say, man, I got to straighten these people out, stand up and start. No. It was his custom to go to church. Are you learning something? Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he had when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. He lingered behind. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposed him to have been in the company. And they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. You ever, parents, thought, you know what, Joy was with Uncle Sam? Oh, yeah, I've done this all the time. Oh, yeah, Paul, you know what, Tyler's with Paul. Shayla's with Vegas, right? And so that's what they thought. And then later on, they thought, man, I haven't seen Jesus. Listen, you know what? So I'm going to go to Uncle, you know what, Uncle whatever, Uncle Fester. And I'm going to see, I'm gonna see if Jesus, so, hey, Uncle Fester, I thought Jesus was with you. One with me. You know, Uncle Fester, one with me, man. And they're freaking out. So when they had not found him, they returned to Jerusalem. See, they thought he was with everybody that left. But then they go back seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him. Where'd they find him? In the temple. What's the temple? Listen, temple to a Jewish boy, you know what that was? That was church. I don't care how you slice it. You know what? A rose by any other name is still a rose. You know where he was? He was in church. Sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding. This kid was asking some good questions. And answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." They sought them anxiously, but they were there for 3 days until they went to the temple. They went back to Jerusalem, but they didn't find him for 3 days. What does that mean? For 3 days, they're at Tommy's, they're at, you know what, In-N-Out. They're all over the place, but they're not in the temple. Are you catching this? "Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know? Why are you looking all over the place, Mom? "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Where is the father's business being done at? At church. What's going on at church? Let me tell you what's going on in church. You are learning about ways that aren't firsthand to you. You're learning God's ways. You're learning about how you need to order your life and get it together. Amen? How many ever had somebody tell you, "Hey, man, you need to get it together." And you're like, "Man, I do need to get it together." And then you tried to get it together. You know what? And you still ate too many French fries. Come on, somebody. What's going on? Listen, you need God to help you get it together. Amen. So here's my point. You know, "Oh, I don't need church." Well, listen, if you're going to follow Christ, then Christ was in church. And then later on in Acts chapter 17, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, and there was a synagogue of the Jews." Synagogues was Jews' church. Watch this. "Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, for the three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures." What's Paul doing? He's going every single Sabbath, he's going to church. Is this making sense to anyone? You want to be a follower of Christ? You want to follow Christ? Then guess what? Christ went to church. Amen. Oh, you don't want to. Oh, see that's a perversion of the gospel. We've gotten to a place that we think we can just do it however we want to do it. No, I'm just going to do it. You know, I'm just going to do it the way I want to do it. Okay, well, you can do whatever you want to do. But if you're going to be a follower of Christ, then you need to go to church. Because that's what his custom was. And by the way, wait a minute. What does the Bible say? We'll look at it in a minute. The Bible says in Hebrews, how many believe that God inspired this? Amen? Well, in Hebrews, God said that you are not to forsake the gathering of the brethren. Well, let me tell you what's really going on. Somebody want to know what's really going on? What's really going on exactly is people do what they want to do. You have not put the value of following Christ and learning his ways high enough so something else is higher than that. You know why you all came today? It's deep. You know why you all came today? It's deep. Because you wanted to come today. That's why you came. You saw it valuable. And so you came. Amen. Well, the Bible teaches us that this is our custom. This is what we do. We understand the importance of us developing our spirits. We understand the most important thing. You know what the most important thing is? That you develop your spirit man. That is the most important thing. And we see it as valuable. You say, Pastor, I know why you go. You go to church every Sunday because you're the pastor. Listen, that's fine, right? Wrong amundo. Because I went to church every Sunday and Wednesday, you know what? When I wasn't the pastor. Amen? I went to church every Sunday and Wednesday when I was at Mesa Bible Chapel in Costa Mesa, and you know what? And I was just serving, just like you're serving. Why did you go to church every Sunday and Wednesday? Because I valued it. I knew that my spiritual development meant more than anything else. Yeah, but Pastor, I got to work. Can I go there? I said, can I go there? Listen, the Bible says that we need to value instruction . Are you guys on the edge of your seat? The Bible says that we need to value instruction more than gold or silver. Now listen to me. I'm not saying that you might not have to work right now. Your schedules, you have to work Sunday morning, or I'm not saying you have to work Wednesday night. I'm not saying that. I understand that. What I'm saying is understand the power of simply asking. I worked for 25 years at Albertsons. And in the 25 years of Albertsons, I don't think I ever missed church on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. How did you do that? Here's how I did this. If they scheduled me Sunday, you know what? If I got a Sunday morning schedule, I'd call and I'd figure out and I'd get somebody to switch with me. Why? Because it was really important to me. And then every time they asked me to stay over, I said, absolutely, I'll stay over, but can you make sure I don't work Sunday morning? And over a period of time, they just knew I was always off the schedule Sunday morning. Now, why did you do that? Here's why. Because I understood my spiritual development was the most important thing for me to develop. And so I saw it as most important. But Pastor, you don't know my work. Listen, you don't know, obviously, you don't know my God. You are underestimating the power of God. You're underestimating the power of you acting. You're what you think God can split the Red Sea, but he can't figure out how to get you off Sunday and Wednesday? Is that what you're telling me? Because that's what people tell me all the time. I can't, I go to my job again. Hey, just start believing God. Start believing for favor. You don't start asking for it. Amen. And listen, if they won't give it to you, then start asking God, God, put me in a different job. Oh, that's radical. I know it's radical. But let me tell you what. You know what? You know what's radical? What's radical is that your life is in destruction. And it's not in destruction because God doesn't want an instruction. But it's in destruction because, listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things are going to come to you. God will bless you. But you have to be instructed in the things of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, let's talk about the church, okay? Guys in the back, you ready to roll? Number three, the church has always been, oh my goodness, the church has always been important, always been important. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Now Saul was, constantly consenting to his death. At the time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered. Where's the church? Against the church, which was at what? Jerusalem. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Now news of these things came to the ears of the church in where? Where's the church? Acts chapter 11, verse 29. And when they had found him, Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when they had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it was that the whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were called Christians at Antioch. Now, where's this church at? Is it in Jerusalem? I thought the church was in Jerusalem. Well, there was a church in Jerusalem. But guess what? Now there's a church where? In Antioch. Verse chapter 12, verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constantly prayer was offered to God for him in the church. One of the roles of the church is that we pray. Romans chapter 16, verse 1. I contend to you, Phoebes, our sister, who is a servant of the church in where? Yeah, now watch. Well, I thought the church was in Antioch. There was a church in Antioch. You know what? Well, was there? I thought the church was in Jerusalem. It was in Jerusalem. But what happened is, here's what happened. What happened was the church originally was in Jerusalem, and originally the church was even part of, kind of, all the people that first got saved, what were they? They're all Jews. And so where did they go to church? They went to church in synagogue. But what happened is there was such resistance as they started saying, hey, we don't got to do all this stuff. This is the law. We need to be obedient to God, but we don't need to, you know what, do. And so they got all wrapped in that. And so they started saying, well, you know what, let's worship God at Peter's house. And they all hung out at Peter's house. And they started having church in somebody's house. Someone says, yes, amen. To have real church, according to the New Testament, you got to be in people's house. Wrong! People just take one scripture and they think, oh, this is the anointing is in the house. The anointing isn't in the house. Well, why were they in the house? Because that's the only place they had to go. But then at some point, you know, in the church, somebody said, hey, man, let's you know what? We got too many people in the house. Let's meet at the barn. I got a barn, man. Let's meet at the barn. And church was in the barn. At some point in Pico Rivera, somebody said, hey, let's there's that property. Let's buy that property and let's build a church there. Oh, that's not biblical. Of course it's biblical. Of course it's biblical. The Jews did it all the time. And the only reason the Christians didn't do it is it took them a while to be able to figure out to come together and to purchase property and figure out where was a bigger place to go. I mean, you could all come over to my house. We could have church. You know what I mean? But we'd have to tolerate my four dogs. You know what I mean? Amen. Are you learning something? All right. What happens in church? And I need to wrap it up. I don't know how I'll do this. Maybe next service I'll just continue to preach because I don't know how I'll do this. Maybe I'll just do part two next week. But let me say this. What happens at church? Here's what happens at church. At church, a couple of things happen. One, church is a place to pray. Some churches, they don't pray anymore. If you call them and say, hey, when's your prayer meeting? They'd go, well, a prayer meeting? Why don't I have a prayer meeting? You know, God said, my house should be called a house of prayer. So number one, you know what? We need to understand church is about a place where we can pray. Number two, church is a place where you can worship. Everybody say worship.
Worship.
Psalms chapter 107, verse 32. In Psalms 107, verse 32. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. What's David talking about? He's talking about, wait. We need to come together and worship God. How many know you can get out your banjo at home and worship God? You know what I mean? It's okay. You know what I mean? But how many know it's cool when you can come and instead of, you know what, your Uncle Ned being the drummer, you know what? We get George to be our drummer. Amen? I'm not ripping on Uncle Ned, but you know what? I'd rather have George be our drummer. Amen? Does this make sense? How many ever come to worship and you're just like, you know, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you can't sing a lick, man. You can't sing a lick. But we'll crank it up and we'll sing, you know what? We'll sing a song like we're singing, you know, exalt the Lord our God. And we sing it and we got it loud enough that you just think, you know, you're like, man, I got a good voice. You know what I mean? You don't love you? No, you don't. But that's okay. Isaac does. Amen? Is that not right? And so you get to be part of this corporate thing. And it's not just that. It's not that you not just sound better. How many know there's something when we come together that is just totally different? And you need to worship at home. But it's totally different. And then here's where I need to stop, and maybe I'll go into this next week. Maybe I'll go into it next service. But here's where the rubber meets the road. Church is a place where you are trained. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are called, that God calls some to be pastors. And the calling on our life, and I'll include Tamara because she's certainly included in this. The calling. I have so many people say, you know what, Pastor? and if you've said this, I take no offense. You know what? But how many of you, as blessed as you are in the sermons, when Tamara comes up and says something after, you're like, man, that really just ministered to me. See, all over. What's going on? Well, listen, here's what's going on. There's anointing on her life. And there's anointing on our life. And the anointing on our life, what is our role? Our role is to train you, the Bible says in Ephesians, for the work of the ministry. Can I tell you what the Bible says? The Bible says, my children die from a lack of knowledge. See, understand this. The most important thing that you do all week is get trained in righteousness.
See, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, no, dude, I got to work out. I got to work out. Okay, Jack LaLanne, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? So you can do 486 push-ups and you're 93 years old. But can I tell you what? At some point in time, you're not going to be 94. Because there will be a day that you will wake up, and I don't care if you do 148 push-ups, you're dying that day. And when you die that day, the rest of eternity will be based on your spiritual development. Let me clarify this, because I talked about spiritual development enough, and I don't want anybody to understand me. Understand this. I'm talking about getting connected to Jesus Christ. And then once you get connected to Jesus Christ, then for you to get more connected for Jesus Christ. We're not conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Here's what the Bible says, by renewing your mind. When does that take place? That's taking place right now as you're thinking. Some of you, as I'm preaching, you're thinking, man, I need to set church way more important than I have in the past. How did that happen? Through the preaching of the word. Here's what the Bible says, that my feet are beautiful. Why? Because here's why. Because when I come in, this sounds arrogant, but I'm just telling you what the word of God says. Because when I come in, I'm going to come up here and I'm going to teach you things from the word of God, and that word is going to change your mind, and it's going to set you free to have a difference in your thinking, and then you're going to have a difference in your acting, and then all of a sudden, things that haven't been clicking with your kids are going to start to click. And things that are not clicking in your marriage, they're going to start to click. And things that aren't clicking in your business, they're going to start to click. And you're going to say, that's it, that's what I need. Okay, and can I tell you what? And here's the deal. And it's incremental. Everybody say incremental. Okay, this is the last thing, I got to go. But this is so important. The incremental, that's where so many people miss it. They don't understand. It's incremental. You know, if you said, Pastor, what's the most important thing in the power series? What's the most important thing that you taught on power? Well, let me tell you what. I don't know exactly. Everything's the most important thing. So you're a plumber, and in your toolkit, you got all kinds of stuff. You know what? You got duct tape. You got Teflon tape. You know what? You got a wrench. You got a screwdriver. You know what I mean? You got all kinds of things. You know, you got a snake. Exactly. You got all kinds of things. What's the most important? I don't know. You know what? If you need a screwdriver, a snake, and all, just try to use the snake as a... Are you kidding me? See, what am I saying? I'm saying, see, and that's where you miss it. When you decide to come, when you feel like coming, when it's convenient for you to come. And what's the issue? The issue, again, the issue is, just so you remember, what's the issue? The issue is the NFL. You've just put something more important than your spiritual development. And what I'm saying is, there is nothing more important than you learning about the things of God. Amen. Did you learn something today? See, listen, can I love you even more? I might smack your flesh around a little bit. Can I love you even more? Can I tell you what? Some of the best series that we've done, the most freeing, the most in-depth, the most helpful, you know what? They're not even taught on Sunday. They're taught on Wednesday. Listen, parents, I know. I don't care. If you got to just, you know what, go to Taco Bell. I don't encourage you to go to Taco Bell, but you can go to Taco Bell, you know what, buy a bean and cheese burrito and just tell your kid, you know what, you got three kids in the back, tell them, open up your mouth. Choo, choo, choo. You know what I mean? Okay. Choo, choo, choo. Okay. That's fine. But here's what I'm saying. But get here on Wednesday nights. That's right. Come on. See, and listen, you know, I don't have perfect kids. And don't you think that my kids, you know, have to be perfect either. But let me tell you what. But Tamara and I, by the grace of God, have raised kids that love Jesus. Amen. And are serving Jesus. And I know one of the reasons that is because Tamara and I, you know what, would go to Taco Bell. We had three kids. So open up your mouth. You know what I mean? Yeah, but they're not getting. Hey, listen, it's okay. They're going to go to church. And they're going to go to church on Sunday. And they're going to go to church on Wednesday. You know what? And if we have family come over, they're going to go to church on Sunday and Wednesday. And if somebody got tickets, you know, oh, good, front row tickets to the Dodgers. Okay, well, Vin Scully, I'll have to wait. Because their spiritual development is more important than anything else. Amen. Did you learn something? Praise God. The power of church. Amen.